The same failed policy over and over. The U.S., along with its allies, is to train what it deems as the moderate armed opposition in Syria. President Assad, Iran, and others have warned the West repeatedly of this policy and its likely blowback. Their warnings have tragically been proven true through attacks in Paris and threats in Belgium. Throw into this further incitement of battle-hardened extremists returning to Europe by Charlie Hebdo's insistence on degrading the Prophet of Islam. Those issues and more will be discussed in this edition of The Debate.
The U.S. Secretary of State is in Paris in a show of solidarity with France and other European countries that started to panic in the wake of attacks in Paris last week. The French government, which has begun a security crackdown across the country, says it is now at war with terrorism. Several European countries have also arrested dozens of people on terrorism charges. Meanwhile, the Pentagon says hundreds of its military personnel will begin training the so-called moderate insurgents in Syria to fight ISIL there. It seems that the U.S. has not learned from its past mistakes. Back in 2012, the CIA ran a covert program that trained its vetted rebels in Jordan.
When they were aiding the FSA, it wasn't blowback. They knew that these men were cutting off heads and killing children and were engaged in terrorist activity. That's the point. The plan to divide Syria up and foster sectarian violence has been on the books since the 80s. It was supposed to follow.
Many of them later joined the ISIL terrorist group, which are now committing horrendous atrocities in Syria and Iraq and threaten other nations too. At the same time, the return of the militants to their countries in the Middle East and Europe is now a major concern for governments that supported them fighting in other countries like Libya and Syria.
It's very difficult, therefore, for us to talk about identifying terrorist cells or terrorist networks. It's much more complex, much less predictable than that. And that takes the challenge of containing this threat to a new level. And that's the real problem, I think, that the intelligence community faces right now.
Growing Islamophobia, intimidating Muslim communities in Europe, and deliberate provocations in the name of free speech are now only playing in the hands of terrorists and further fuel extremism inside Europe. In reaction to the latest insult by French satirical weekly to the Prophet Muhammad, which has been defended by the government of France as freedom of speech, the leader of the Catholic Church, Pope Francis, said when it comes to religion, freedom of speech is not boundless.
I believe you cannot react violently, but if my good friend Dr. Gasparri says a curse word against my mother, he can expect a punch. It's normal. You cannot provoke. You cannot insult the faith of others. You cannot make fun of the faith of others.
Amid the rising homegrown extremism and terrorism, it's time for the U.S. and some European countries to review their foreign and domestic policies.
Let's now introduce our guests for this edition of The Debate. We're joined by Mr. Joe Eisbaker, who is with the United National Anti-War Committee, and he's joining us live from Chicago. And we're also joined by the former Assistant U.S. Secretary of Defense, Mr. Lawrence J. Korb, who is joining us live from Washington. Gentlemen, thanks very much for joining us here on Press TV's The Debate. Mr. Korb, I'll start with you. Why is the U.S. repeating the very same policy, which was at the least complicit in today's extremists in Iraq and Syria, getting arms to begin with?
Well, they're trying not to repeat the same policy because basically the other countries, not the U.S., provided lethal arms and it ended up in the hands of these extremist groups like ISIS and al-Nusra. In fact, President Obama was criticized for not doing it. What we're doing now is we're vetting and making sure that the people that we do train and eventually arm are not these extremists. So it is a change of policy, and it's going to take quite a while. It's going to take a couple of years before you're going to see these people get into the battlefield in Syria, hopefully to fill the vacuum when the international coalition is able to degrade ISIS.
Very well. Mr. Eisbaker, are you convinced that this is a different policy from what the U.S. has been following so far?
No, in fact, I'm reminded by this latest iteration of funding for the moderate rebels. I'm reminded of a children's nursery rhyme that's very popular in the United States. It goes, I know an old lady who swallowed a fly, perhaps she'll die. And then the old lady swallows a spider to catch the fly. And then the old lady swallows a bird to catch the spider, and then she swallows a cat to catch the bird. And I feel like we're on the fifth stanza of this poem. So first, the United States under General Petraeus introduces death squads in Iraq to fight the Iraqi resistance, and those death squads then join up with Al-Qaeda. Then the United States backs the so-called revolution in Libya and arms them, and NATO backed them as well. And then those Islamist forces joined with Al-Qaeda. And then the United States 3 years ago began to back, almost 4 years ago, began to back the Free Syrian Army in Syria. And then as the Free Syrian Army got tired of having their behinds whipped by the Syrian Arab Army, they crossed the street and joined the al-Nusra Front. And then the United States, through its puppets, Turkey and Saudi Arabia and Qatar, were backing the al-Nusra Front. And then the majority of al-Nusra Front walked across the street and joined ISIS. And now we are doing it again. And you know, the nursery rhyme ends with the old lady dying when she tries to swallow a cow. And I don't know at what point this myth of the moderate Syrian rebel is going to be exposed. At what point is the U.S. government going to tire of this myth? I can't actually see, I'm not a prophet, so I can't see the future.
Mr. Korb, I want to pick up on that last one Mr. Eisbecker made there about the myth of the moderate rebel or moderate opposition member, as the United States likes to call them. You know, these are the very moderate opposition members which eventually went on to become extremists with ISIL, the al-Nusra Front, etc. So what guarantees do we have at this point that these militants or these armed members, which will be trained right now, will not go down the same path?
Well, in fact, you're right. That's why President Obama did not arm them. He was not assured that they wouldn't go to the other side. And again, if you read criticisms by his former officials, Secretary Gates, Secretary Clinton, Secretary Panetta, they all criticize him for not doing it just for the reasons that have been pointed out. What they're doing now is different. It's a slow process. They're going to vet them and make sure they're not the type of people. Are there any guarantees? No, but by taking a long time, in fact, they've been criticized for taking so long to train them. Today is not new. It's just getting more people there to do it. There's no doubt about the fact that a lot of the arms that went to what people thought was the moderate opposition ended up in the wrong hands.
Respectfully, sir, if you allow me, Mr. Korb, to argue with that on the point, because, you know, President Assad from day one said that the moderate opposition was not moderate. Surely the United States does not like President Assad, but certainly he is an easier person to work with than going through this entire charade of, you know, training these people who you have no guarantees with to begin with anyways.
No, let's go back and you're rewriting history. When the peaceful started, peaceful demonstrators, the demonstrators did not use force until Assad used force against them. This was part of the Arab Spring that went in Tunisia and Egypt. So it wasn't these people who started fighting. They needed to defend themselves because Assad was acting just like his father, who killed 40,000 Sunnis in homes years ago. So no, that's how it started. The United States, you're right, was getting along fine with Assad. But with the Arab Spring, he was the one who precipitated this whole thing with arms from other countries, including Russia.
Mr. Eisbecker, go ahead, because I'm a bit confused here, because, you know, if President Assad was the culprit here, he's the one who's been warning the West, along with Iran, in fact, and other countries in the region, that there would be blowback, the kind that we have now seen play out in Paris, and we've seen the terror raids in Belgium. This is blowback, which is finally the forewarning coming true.
Look, you know, Mr. Korb, you're referring back to the 1988 uprising against the Hafez Assad government. Step back and look at the whole picture. The so-called moderate rebels in Syria are the ones who, from the very beginning, from 1988, had raised the chant. They chant in their rallies, Christians to Beirut and Alawites to the grave. In other words, ethnic cleansing of 10% of the population of Syria. These are the moderates. This isn't al-Nusra or al-Qaeda. These are the moderate Syrian rebels. And then they chant Alawites to the grave. In other words, extermination, genocide of another 10% of the Syrian population. This is the armed force